Good morning.
Good morning, Deacon.
And welcome. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? To be one of his disciples? It may mean that we need to surrender ourselves to his will, to place our trust in him as we continue upon his journey of faith. Even when the road we travel seems a little bumpy and uncomfortable. Jesus and his disciples have just spent some time down in Jerusalem, in the land of Judea. And they were now traveling back north, up to Galilee. Between Judea and Galilee is where the land of Samaria is located. Normally, when Jews would travel from Judea up to Galilee, they would make certain to travel around the land of Samaria, rather than journey through it, which would have been a much quicker route for them to take. The reasons for Jews avoiding any interactions with Samaritans can be found in the Old Testament, particularly within the second book of Kings. The short version of this conflict that exists between them dates back to the days when Israel had been overrun by foreign powers, such as the Assyrians, and had been forced into exile. When the Israelites returned from living in exile, the land of Samaria continued to be inhabited by some of the foreigners that the Assyrians had relocated into that area. In time, the influences of some of these non-Jewish people upon the original inhabitants of the land, particularly on matters of faith, began to affect their way of life and worship within Samaria. Throughout the generations that followed, these inhabitants of Samaria would eventually begin to be viewed as being like half-Jews or as just plain Gentiles, people who were viewed as unclean and to be avoided. There is much more to this issue that can be stated, but nonetheless, this is the basis for why Jews avoided traveling through Samaria. As for why Jesus would have chosen a break from custom, probably has to do with the fact that Jesus' mission was not intended for just the chosen people of God or for a select few, but rather it was intended for all of God's children. Jesus came into the world to reconcile all of God's children back to our Heavenly Father. Jesus begins his mission of reconciliation by leading his disciples right through the land of Samaria. Sometimes I wonder if any of the disciples had the courage to tell Jesus, the Son of God, the one who was full of grace and truth, that he was heading in the wrong direction. John's gospel is silent on whether there were any grumblings among the disciples. And while it may seem silly to think that the disciples would even consider saying such things to Jesus, in many respects, isn't this what we so oftentimes do and say to our Lord in our own lives? Do we not at times tell God in one way or another that he is leading us in a wrong direction? Have we ever felt the Holy Spirit trying to urge us to head in a certain direction in life? Maybe in a direction to consider pursuing a religious vocation, to consider volunteering our times and talents to the church, maybe to consider a change in employment. Sometimes we may even feel the Holy Spirit urging us to meet Jesus in the confessional. And yet, how oftentimes do we respond to some of these urgings by saying that while we would like to do what the Holy Spirit is guiding us towards, right now is not the time, as we attempt to pursue other things in life, only to eventually realize that God continues to call us to follow him in a certain direction that we may be hesitant to travel down upon. Just as the Holy Spirit had led Jesus into the desert, so too were the disciples led by Jesus into a land that they would much rather have avoided at all costs. Jesus had led his disciples right into the center of Samaria. It was about noon when Jesus decided to stop and rest at Jacob's well, which was most likely located just outside of town, as his disciples continued into town to purchase some food for their lunch. Jesus remained alone at the well when a certain Samaritan woman came to retrieve some water from that well. Surprisingly, there are actually some scholars who believe that this encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman could not have taken place. They argue that women would have gone to the well only during the morning and evening hours of the day, not during the middle of the day in the afternoon heat. If this was a perfect world, then these scholars could be correct. Unfortunately, ever since Adam and Eve were cast out of paradise, things haven't been quite so perfect due to the effects of sin. Remember that when Adam had fallen from grace, he had done something that was not normal for him to do. He hid himself from God. This Samaritan woman has suffered through many failed marriages. She has been searching for a spouse and has failed repeatedly, to the point that she is now in an adulterous relationship. Given all the hardships that she has faced in life, and now with this sin of adultery that plagues her, she is probably living her life with a sense of shame. She is alone in this world and most likely believes that she can never encounter true love or happiness. This Samaritan woman could very well be coming to the well during the middle of the day as her way of avoiding the possibility of having to see others, especially the wife of the man that she is involved with. This is what sin does to us. This is what Satan loves to see happen to us, to see us suffering from our weaknesses to commit sin. This is what Jesus came to undo in our lives, to give us the grace and strength to avoid committing sin, to restore us to a life of peace and joy that can only come from living our lives in union with God. If we were to closely examine the conversation that takes place between a Samaritan woman and Jesus, we will notice how it begins with her addressing him in a rather harsh manner, as just some Jew who is just a stranger to her. Then, through the course of the conversation, we can see her being catechized as she goes from seeing him as a stranger to now wondering if he is the Messiah that she has been awaiting. Jesus speaks to this woman about how if she really knew him, then she would be asking him for a drink of water. Jesus speaks of giving a water that will lead us to eternal life. In other words, he is speaking of the gift of the Holy Spirit that God so desires to pour into our very being, just like he had done in the beginning when God the Father had breathed into mankind the Holy Spirit, which gave life to Adam. The Samaritan woman asks for this gift, but first, there is an issue that needs to be addressed. Jesus asks her to go and call her husband, and the conversation that follows both acknowledges and recognizes the struggles that this woman has dealt with throughout her life, which further emphasizes just how much she is in need of God's merciful love and grace that enters into this world through our Lord and Savior. There is a conversion of heart that takes place in this woman's life, along with an abandonment of her old sinful way of life. To better understand this conversion that takes place, we should look to St. Augustine, who once had written a beautiful piece regarding the scripture verse about how the woman left her water jar. St. Augustine essentially views the water jar as symbolizing the fallen desire of man that draws pleasure from the dark wells of the world, but is never satisfied for long. Conversion to Christ moves us, like the Samaritan woman, to renounce the world, to leave behind the desires of our earthen vessels, and to follow a new way of life that is made possible by our commitment to live as one with Jesus. This woman, she abandons her water jar, her old way of life, and she goes into town to share the good news of having encountered the Messiah with people whom she once used to try and avoid due to the shame of her sin. This then results in all of Samaria coming out to encounter Jesus, to be converted, to enter into a relationship with our one true spouse, Jesus Christ. To be a follower of Christ begins with a conversion of heart, with a sincere desire to leave behind the water jars of our lives that lead us to sin. Then, once we have received the gift of this living water, of the Holy Spirit, which will lead us to life eternal with God, we should then surrender ourselves to the will of God, to allow Him to lead us where we must go so as to share the good news, to share this living water with others who also thirst for true happiness that can only come from God. This is what the Samaritan woman came to experience in her life, which then led her to proclaim the good news to the rest of Samaria. This is what Father Stanley Rother had experienced in his life, which led him to go and share the good news with the people of Guatemala. The gift of living water is what enabled St. Damian of Molokai to follow Jesus and to share the love of Christ with the leper colonies of Hawaii. This too is what St. Patrick, whose feast day we celebrated this past Friday, had done for Ireland. For contrary to popular belief, St. Patrick, he did not introduce green beer to Ireland. Believe it or not, he actually did something much better. St. Patrick introduced Ireland to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One man converted an entire nation for our Lord. Will we allow Jesus to lead us to a conversion of heart? Will we allow Him to lead us towards someone who is in need of knowing that they are indeed loved by God? Or will we continue to cling on to earthen water jars while traveling down paths that will not lead us to life eternal?